Just before we turn to God's word, let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come to the altar. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the wonderful, wonderful place of forgiveness because of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, it doesn't matter how much we have fallen into sin or how much we have messed up our life and how damaged we are because of our sin and our behaviour. We thank you there's mercy. There's mercy with God. We thank you that there's forgiveness in Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, any man, any person being Christ, to become a brand new person. And Father, as we come before you tonight, we pray if there be anyone amongst us who needs to experience that love and mercy and forgiveness of God which is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that tonight they'll taste and see that the Lord is good. And we do pray for those whose faith and trust is in Christ. Help us to grow. Help us to mature. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We know that we'll never be perfect until we see you eye to eye, face to face. And so, Lord, we pray, help us to have a stronger love and hunger and thirst for you in these wicked and evil days when anything goes. We do pray, Heavenly Father, help us to walk in truth, in righteousness, and in godliness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at a verse in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, but I'll tell you a story first. But if you want to look it up, Philippians chapter 1, it's just going to be one verse there, and it's verse 21. Philippians chapter 1. And it's verse 21, and we'll read it later on. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Usually if I'm sharing God's word and stuff like that, I usually tell things that's happened in my life, things that's happened as I was being brought up, the difficulties I've experienced in my life. I'm not shy in sharing them or hiding them. But I want to tell you a story. When I was young, I remember my pal, Paul Farrell, saying to me, he had a disagreement with his dad, and he was calling his dad a few different names. And I remember saying, I just wish my dad was in the house to give me a row, because I can't remember, although my parents were divorced when I was five, I can't remember my dad staying in our house. And we only got to see my dad maybe couple of times a year, three times a year. That was a really good year. And so we hardly ever saw him. And that I remember many times going to sleep at night crying, upset and really hurt because of all the things that was going on. And you know the story of my mum being an alcoholic and all the difficulties with that. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because it's amazing how God can take everything that's happened in your life and use it for his glory. Now remember, all that was happening to me, and I was bruised, I was hurt, I was damaged and all that. Then I got converted when I was 18, ended up a Baptist minister, and I was a minister in Drum Chapel. And we did a great children's work, over 50 kids coming to the Awana Club. Now Awana means approved workmen are not ashamed, because the United Free minister asked one day, would I go up and speak to the head teacher in the school where he was a minister, I was a minister in another school. He says, because one of the kids have says they go to a club in Drum Chapel Baptist Church called the Marijuana Club. And it was not a marijuana club, it was a Wana Club. So we had to go and explain to the teacher. And anyway, the reason I'm telling you that is because one of the nights in Awana, now you imagine 50 kids, 95% of them don't go to church, no background, church background. It was crazy, absolutely mental, but it was brilliant, excellent. And we had some wonderful times. Anyway, there was this young lassie there, a lovely kid, never caused any hassle. And one night she gave her pal a bit of a thumping. She gave her pal a few thumps. And so we took her into the kitchen and says, what's the problem? She was cheeky. She says, no, what's the problem? What's the matter with you? She was cheating. I says, no, no, what is the problem? And she says, it's my birthday tomorrow, and I'm not going to see my dad. It's my birthday tomorrow, and I'm not going to see my dad. And because it was this young lass's birthday, and she wasn't going to see her dad, she was upset. And because she's upset, she thumped one of her pals. Now, I tell you that because I was able to say, well, can I tell you a bit about my background and share how I knew where she was coming from? And God used it because she found that so strange that here I was, the minister, and I opened up with my wounds and my hurts, but how God helped me. Now, why am I telling you that? Because in Philippians, Paul was in prison for the gospel. Paul was in prison for the gospel. And you know what Paul says? Because he's in prison for the gospel, it's even making believers more bold in preaching Christ and preaching the gospel. Because he was in prison, George Mitchell wrote a book called Chained and Cheerful. Because Paul was in prison, it was giving the believers backbone. It helped him in their walk with God because Paul was in prison, and even though he was in prison for the sake of the gospel, what did he do? He didn't sit in a corner and mope and complain and cry his eyes out. No, he came and he shared Jesus with everybody round about. So God was using his circumstances to help him promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God was using his circumstances to help him promote the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's great news for you and great news for me. God knew where you were going to be born. And God knew whose family you're going to be born into. And God knows everything about you. And if you're here and you're a Christian and you know and you love the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing in your life that's happened that surprises God. There's nothing that's happened in your life that surprises God. But when you come and surrender your life to him, God can take what's happened to you and he can use it for you to minister and help other people. That your bruises and your bumps in the road and your difficulties, God can use that to help other people. The amount of people I get wonderful opportunities to share with in Drumchapel, because my mum was an alcoholic and she suffered with clinical depression. She was addicted to Carlsberg lagers and all the disaster of that. And how you're able to get along beside people and tell them this. But Jesus stepped in and set her free. And she got free from that. And the change in my mother's life was amazing. It was absolutely beautiful. The difference in her life that God made when God stepped into life, and to be able to share that with people. Now, here is Paul, a mighty man of God, a man who used to be religious and thought because of his religion he was right with God, but he wasn't. But then he did the Damascus Road experience and he met with God in a real deep and personal way, and God really used him. And he had a thorn in his side, but God used him, and he used him for his glory. And you know what Paul says in verse 21? He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And here is the Apostle Paul, even though he's been beat up before, even though he was shipwrecked, even though he's put in prison, and even though all these things happened to him, he never allowed it. He never allowed whatever happened to him to blunt his desire to preach the gospel of Christ. He never allowed what was going on in his life to stop him having a longing to preach Jesus. This has happened to me twice. I'll tell you about one of the times somebody says to me, I'm not talking to him. I was a minister, I'll not tell you anymore, just in case anybody knows anybody. He says that somebody drummed up, says, I'm not talking to him. And I thought, who should I not talk to? I thought it might have been a husband because he was a bit of a twister. But anyway, it wasn't. And I says, hey, who are you not talking to? She says, I'm not talking to God. I says, sorry. She says, I'm not talking to God. I says, what do you mean you're not talking to God? Well, I've asked him to answer my prayers about something and he's not answering my prayers. I want him to answer my prayers in a certain way and he's not answering them, so I'm not talking to him. Is that not dangerous talk? That is so dangerous because God knows what's good for us and God always answers our prayers, not according to your will, but according to his will. And this lady struggled because she thought that God never answered her prayers. I'll tell you, there's times I've prayed and I'm thankful God never answered them the way I wanted them answered. God answered them the way that he wanted them to be answered. Now, I tell you that because the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. And that should be our desire in our life, to live for the glory of God, to live for God's glory. And it doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. We have to have that desire in our heart. It's when I first became a Christian in Oban, and one of the leaders up there says to me, I was all wee bit excited about it. And one of the leaders says to me, don't worry, Gordon, it'll not last that long. Talk about one of Job's comforts. Don't worry, you'll calm down. Imagine saying that to a young believer. Don't worry, you'll calm down. Who wants to calm down? We want to keep the joy of the Lord in our heart. And I believe, as Paul says, for me to live, Paul knew God in a personal way. And that's what makes a difference, because there's many people today and they're caught up with religion. And religion doesn't give you a relationship with God. It's so important that we know that we have a relationship with God in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know there's many people who stand up here tonight and tell us their testimony when they became a Christian, when they gave their life to Christ. But that's what's important, that we know that we have accepted Christ into our life, that we know that we are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything else, if we're building our walk with God and anything else except Christ, we're building on sinking sand. It's only when your faith and trust is in Christ, when you know that your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you know all is well with your soul. There was a minister just outside of Edinburgh, and he was a minister in a church for 6 years, him and his wife, and the faith mission went into a mission in their village, and he thought, all right, I better go to this mission because these people, they're talking to people in the village where he was the minister in the community. And him and his wife started getting along, and he was the minister for 6 years. And you know what happened? He got saved. That's right, he got saved. He realized that he was a minister, but he had never given his life to Christ. He was trusting in religion. He was trusting in who he was in the church. In 6 years in his ministry, him and his wife came and gave their life to Christ. And I want to tell you, I met him. He was a lovely man. He actually ended up lecturing to us in the faith mission. He was a wonderful preacher of the Old Testament. And his son actually became an evangelical minister as well. He came to that place where he had a personal relationship with Christ. And I would like to ask tonight, have you got that personal relationship with Christ? Make sure that you're sure that you're saved, that you've given your life over to the Lord. Don't trust in coming to a building. This is only a building. Don't trust in knowing religious people or Christian people. Make sure that your trust is in Jesus, that you've given your life to Christ, because he alone is a mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I told you about the lady in Airdrie, Ebenezer. going to church for 71 years. Rose, 71 years she's going to church. 70 years she was going to church. And her mum took her to church. She was a child. She went, she was old enough herself. And she started coming along a gospel mission we had in Airdrie, Ebenezer. And on the Friday night, Rose, at 71, gave her life to Christ. And you know what she says? All these years thinking that I was okay. All these years thinking that I was okay and she wasn't a Christian. And at 71, she gave her life to Christ. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you were in here tonight and you could leave tonight saying, for me to live is Christ, because you know Christ personally. Make sure your faith and trust is in him, that you've got a relationship with God and then through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. What a wonderful privilege, Paul could say. His desire was to live for the glory of God. It did not matter what's going on in his life, whether he was in prison, whether he was shipwrecked, whether he was getting beat up, he still wanted to live for the glory of God. Everything that went on in his life, he counted it a privilege to live for God's glory, to live for the glory of God. And isn't it great, if you're here and you're a Christian, and even though we look at the world and we can see the message of the world, and it's very loud and it's very clear, and it's totally against the scriptures, totally against the word of God, and the laws that are getting passed are totally away from the scriptures and totally away from the word of God. But even though the society is terrible, the way that their standards are and their morals, we can live for God's glory. God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who lives within us. And God gives us the ability to live for his glory. And in our life, we can live for the glory of God. We don't want to get entangled with the world. We don't want to say, how close can I walk with the world and still call myself a Christian? We want to deny ourselves and pick up our cross and follow Christ. We want to be men and women of God who know him and love him and want to live for him, that people can see in our life that there is a behavior, there's an attitude, there's a standard in our life. For me to live is Christ. And how many people who say they're believers, but in their life they don't live for the glory of God? And in our hearts and in our life, that's who we want to live for. We want to live for God's glory. We want to make sure that in our heart we have a desire to walk with him, to talk with him, and to live for the glory of God. And when that happens, things happen in our life. Things happen in our life that we want to deal with them maybe in an ungodly way, but we have to deal with them in a godly way. I remember my dad, who eventually became a Christian, and my dad was a nice, kind fella, but if you embarrassed him or made fun of him, he could, so he would deal with you. And anyway, I remember I went home from the Faith Mission. It was the first time I was in the Faith Mission, and home from Faith Mission for the weekend, I was upstaying with my dad. And we're driving down a street in Oban, and my dad was a landscape gardener, and there was a traffic jam coming this way, and we were going driving down, and there's a van coming who worked for a people who dealt with delivering food to hotels and all that. And my dad saw this guy in the van, and the guy owed my dad £70, and he tried to rip my dad off. Now, my dad would give you £70, but don't rip him off. Anyway, and my dad was a black belt, second dan at judo. So anyway, my dad stops the van and says, that guy owes me £70, and he thinks he's ripped me off. And he opens up the door, and I'm like, oh, you're joking, you're kidding. And as he opens up the door, then he turned around and he looked at me straight in the eye, and he says, I'll see him another day, Gordon. I'll see him another day. And I was so thankful. because he didn't want to behave that way, because he knew what I believed in, and he didn't want to go and have kind words to that man who's trying to rip him off. He says, I'll see him another day, Gordon. And I'll tell you, I was praising God inwardly. Now, why am I telling you that? Because he didn't want to embarrass me, and he didn't want to cause me any trouble, because he knew who I believed in. And why did I say that? Because as Christians, there's a standard, and we have to live by that standard. And it's not the standard that suits you on Monday and then doesn't suit you on Tuesday. It's not a standard that suits you on Wednesday, but when you at the weekend when you've got somebody to deal with or talk to, you want a different standard. It's a standard where we have to live for the glory of God, that in our life, that we want to let people see God's glory, the glory of God through our life. And I think that is amazing, that's wonderful. Even how dark the days are spiritually, and even how barren the days are spiritually, and even how Scotland is in a spiritual mess, yet the children of God can live for the glory of God. And that's the most beautiful, beautiful witness that you'll ever be living. Living for the glory of God in a society where anything goes. And Paul could say, for me to live is Christ. And wouldn't it be great if maybe you're here today or tonight, and you know in your life, maybe there's areas in your life, you know you're not living for the glory of God. It's wonderful to know that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us of our sins, that we're cleansed, we're forgiven of our sins when we come and confess before the Lord. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And to die is gain. And that is so peaceful. Even the Apostle Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the Apostle Paul knew that when he was going to die, it wasn't the end, it was only the beginning. It was only the beginning. You know, I got, this is a ring I had, and this way we were getting engaged. But I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, it never fit me anymore. I've known that I'll put on anyway, but I had to get it cut off, and I had to get my wedding ring cut off because it was choking my fingers because I put on that much weight. And anyway, I got it cut off, and for Bethy's wedding, I wanted to have a ring on, so the wedding ring's getting fixed, so this was when I get engaged. But anyway, there was a bit of gold had to put into it about that, because it to go a wee bit further, you know. And so the man who fixed it, a lovely gentleman, he says, oh, that'll take him a wee bit longer, needs quite a bit of gold in that. And so he got it fixed for me. Now, why am I telling you that? Because he was showing his wee bits of gold and all that. It's a fortune, an absolute fortune to get gold. Right? But see, in heaven, do you know what the Bible says? What's the streets filled with? Their pavements are gold. To get your ring fixed is a few bob down here. But when we go to heaven, the streets are paved with gold, because it means nothing. Because we'll just want to worship the Lamb and glorify the Lord in our life. So what I'm saying is, down here, there's things that are valuable, and people hold on to them as valuable. But in heaven, they're nothing. They're nothing. What is the greatest thing we can do here is to live. Live for the glory of God, to let people see the beauty of Jesus through your life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And that is wonderful. What a peace that brings into our life, when we know that we're saved, then we know when we're converted, then we know when our faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The peace that brings into our life. When we die, all is well with our soul. When our trust is in Christ, all is well with our soul. And I'm just going to finish because I know our time is by. But I want to tell you a story. I think I've shared it with you before about how people, there's sometimes people are frightened to die. But when your faith and trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing to fear. Now, I told you about my mum and the way my mum was, but praise God, my mum got saved and she loved the Lord and she lived for the Lord. And just, it was great, the change in her life. But my mum had a beautiful, my mum had a wonderful death. My mum died well. It was brilliant the way my mum passed away. I was at a mission in Greenock, down in Greenock, doing a week's mission. And after it, at night time, I got up to Wishaw Hospital and they allowed us to stay in at night because my mum was dying. And my mum knew she was dying. And I remember one time we were in and the doctor came with medicine, our stuff together, and my mum says, "Hey, excuse me, doctor, what's that you're giving me?" She says, "Oh, it's just to make you feel comfortable. It's not making me get better." "No, no." She says, "That's fine, because I don't want anything that's going to make me get better. I want to die." And that's the way she was. And I remember one night, Pamela, my niece, left at 12 o'clock. And she says, gave Granny a kiss. "Granny, love you. See you in the morning." And my mum says, "Well, I hope you don't see me in the morning, Pamela. I'm hoping to be dead." And the difference in her life was amazing. Absolutely wonderful. And this is a beautiful memory. My mum, she was coming and going, and she was going into a deep sleep, not a coma, but just a deep, she was going. And one of the times she was out for a while, and we thought this must be it. And she just opened one of her eyes, and we were all sitting there, and she just scanned the room. And you know, she says, "You're kidding, am I still alive?" That's what she says, "You're kidding." She scanned the room, she thought she was in heaven. She didn't know she was going to see. She just scanned the room, she says, "You're kidding, am I still alive?" And when she did pass away, I'd been going every night and at home to see the girls are young. And the night at home, I really believe this is what happened. Marion, I was coming back to the hospital. The man says, "You need to get up, Gordon, she's not too good." And I get into the hospital, and I held my mum's hand and I read to her Psalm 23. And then I prayed, holding her hand, read Psalm 23, prayed for her, and she took about 12 breaths and she died. And I, you can maybe think I've just been emotional, but I think she held on till I was there. And she just took 12 breaths and she passed away. And it was a wonderful death. The change in her life was because of Jesus. The peace in her life was because of Jesus. And I want to say to believers tonight, don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. There are many Christians and they're wasting their life. They're investing their time and their talents and their treasure in things that do not count for eternity. You're going to stand before God and have nothing round about you. Nothing. And that's why we want to make sure that we want to live for the glory of God. Live for His glory. Live for the glory of God, that God will use you in a mighty way. And there's a lovely story I'm going to share at the prayer meeting Tuesday night, and I'm not telling you tonight, so I'm hoping you'll be nosy enough to come on Tuesday to hear it. But it was amazing. It happened over 40 years. 40 years it happened. It was amazing what happened. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you're not a Christian, I need to be honest, and it's not gain for you. If you're here and your faith and trust is not in Christ Jesus, it's not gain. There's a heaven where there's no more tears, where there's no more sorrow, where there's no more pain. But the word of God is very clear, and Jesus was very clear. But also there's a hell, and it's like falling into a lake of fire. And that's where those go who do not put their faith and trust in Christ and know the mercy and the forgiveness of God. So it's not gain. And that's why tonight is so important. If you're here and you don't know Christ, if you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, come to the Saviour and make no delay. There is mercy. There is mercy with the Lord. the elders would love to speak to you. I would love to speak to you as we go for a cup of tea. And if you're here and you are a Christian, and you know that you're just been not living the way you should be living, and not behaving the way you should be behaving, and not going forward the way you should be going forward, come tonight and start again. Failure is never final with Christ. Failure is never final with Christ. And tonight, God can do something beautiful in your life. As we finish, Paul says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I hope in your heart you can say that as well. For me to live, I want to live for the glory of God. For me to live is Christ. And if I die, I know all is well with my soul. And I know I'm just going home. And that can happen tonight. So please make sure all is well with your soul. We're not going to sing our closing hymn. I'm just going to close in a word of prayer. And then as we leave, if you're okay, you can maybe play some music, please. Father, as we come before you, help us not to waste this life. Help us to remind ourselves we have only one life, and it will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. We pray for your children. Father, help us not to only say we are children of God, but help us to live for the glory of God. Help us in these dark days when everything goes in society. Help us to live a righteous, godly lifestyle. That in our heart and in our behavior and in our attitudes, people will see the fingerprints of God all over our life. And Father, we do pray if there be anyone amongst us who hasn't given their life to Christ yet, they haven't surrendered their life to him, we pray that even tonight, as you tell us the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents, may they come and give their life to Christ, that they'll leave tonight knowing that they're not going to receive the wages of sin, which is death, separation from God for all eternity. But may they receive the free gift of God, which is eternal life. So Father, we ask you to continue with us as we go and see a fellowship next door. May we know the peace and the joy and the blessing of the Lord resting upon us. And even as we walk into this week, may we know your help, your strength, and your encouragement. In his wonderful name, amen.